more than a few of my personal friends. What? Since the beginning, it seems like it never ends. Story ancient is biblical allegory, and it's all gory. The little shop of city hall horrors.
All right. Welcome back to Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. So we've been having a little bit of trouble trying to get Eva Gollinger live from Venezuela, but we have on the line Mateo Jaran from media analyst with the Venezuelan Information Office to talk about these declassified CIA documents, showing that the United States had detailed information regarding the April 2002 coup in Venezuela. Welcome, Mateo.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on at such short notice.
No, it's not a problem.
Okay. So recently there has been Eva, who we originally were going to have on the show, made a Freedom of Information Act request. And what did it show? I mean, so what did these documents state in terms of U.S. Knowledge of the coup in Venezuela?
Essentially what these are several senior intelligence executive briefs. Dated as early as March 2002, which were, I guess, released under the Freedom of Information Act to Eva Gollinger and Jeremy Bigwood. He's a freelance investigative reporter in Washington. And what basically the documents show is that the U.S., that the CIA had prior knowledge of the coup. They knew that the coup was being organized, and they had some specific details as to how the coup was going to take place. And they actually failed or neglected to advise Chavez on the details of the coup, et cetera. So I actually have some quotes here of what these intelligence briefs state.
Why don't you read it to us?
Uh-huh. For example, the April 6th document, April 6, 2002, shows that disgruntled senior officers and a group of radical junior officers are stepping up efforts to organize a coup against President Chavez, possibly as early as this month. And as we know, the coup took place April 11th, so this is 5 days before the coup actually took place. There's another intelligence brief which kind of delineates the details as to how the coup was going to happen. And this one says, basically, I quote, that they're going to exploit unrest stemming from opposition demonstrations slated for later this month or from strikes staged by white-collar workers at the state oil company. And this was exactly how the coup took place, that exploiting unrest stemming from opposition demonstrations. Basically, the coup leaders took over the government on April 11th. 2 days later, on an April 8th briefing, it states that disgruntled officers are planning a coup. So, I mean, as can be shown from these documents, the U.S. had prior knowledge of the coup and neglected to tell Chavez that this was happening, even though they claimed that they did. They had the details and didn't inform him of those.
Now, is it general practice for governments to inform other governments of, like, any kind of civil unrest?
I mean, I think it's their responsibility. President Chavez, as a democratically elected leader who has a mandate and has, you know, the approval of 60% of the population and has, standing relationships with the United States, you'd assume that, given diplomatic standards, the U.S. government would inform Chavez about what is being planned or what's being hatched. So I would say so, yes.
And then after the coup happened, U.S. Was publicly applauding the coup, and actually one of the few governments who went in to support the coup and trying to organize for other relationships throughout Latin America to also support.
Exactly. I mean, just recently, like 2 weeks ago, Jorge Castañeda, who was the former foreign minister for the Vicente Fox administration in Mexico, came out and stated that the U.S. and the Spanish governments were basically planning behind the scenes, were trying to gather support for the Pedro Carmona government, for the illegal coup government that was established in April 11, 2002. So, yeah, it shows that the U.S. was pushing towards legitimizing the Pedro Carmona government. At the same time, several hours after the coup, Ari Fleischer basically released an announcement stating that what had actually transpired in Venezuela was that the political crisis was provoked by Chavez, that his political actions had led to the political crisis, and that Chavez had actually resigned. And this is, I mean, this is very, very sensitive given the fact that they had the CIA documents which show that a coup was being planned, but they, decided to show it as a resignation and not an actual coup attempt.
And if anyone seeing the revolution will not be televised, you'll see it's just really stirring that several days later they had to reinstate Chavez and the massive support that's out there. Can you talk a little bit about, I understand just recently pro-Chavez forces swept the county elections in Venezuela.
Yeah, exactly. The regional elections, which were held October 31st, I mean just basically a month ago, were for governors and a lot of the municipal officers, and Chavez basically took the Chavez supporters, pro-Chavez politicians, took control of 21 out of the 23 states in Venezuela, and it was a very, very significant victory for Chavez, which again reaffirms his mandate and reaffirms that he has the support of the majority of the population. He actually also gained control of the metropolitan area of Caracas, basically defeating in the election former candidate Alfredo Peña.
And was this also the election where he was basically the referendum that he was basically reelected also, or was that a separate?
No, this was a separate election. The referendum election took place on August 15th, and he won with a landslide victory. He had 60% of the votes against 40% from the opposition, and basically 2 months later, 3 months later, on October 31st, they held the regional elections for the municipal and government for the state's positions.
And so in terms of since the actual referendum and along with the winning of all these kind of municipal seats, what has been happening in Venezuela since the referendum? Like, what are the kind of moves that Chavez is actually making?
Well, I would think he has definitely consolidated his power in Venezuela. He has, at least his party has consolidated a lot of his power, and his mandate is much stronger now that he has, you know, gone through several electoral processes, and every time he goes through one of these electoral processes, you see that Venezuela's population is, you know, strongly behind him. Obviously, the country is still polarized, so there's been some sort of rapprochement with some of the business leaders. At the same time, following the U.S. elections, Chavez has vowed to seek a rapprochement with the United States, too. In terms of legislation, the recently passed media law, which tries to basically regulate the content in the content of programming in a television in order to protect minors, that was recently passed with the, you know, support of the majority of the General Assembly. This law is also tries to promote domestic independent production, tries to educate the citizenry, and tries to allow greater inclusion for people in terms of radio and television. So this is one of the main laws that has actually been passed since these elections.
And then we also understand that the second Bolivarian Conference of the Peoples is going on right now in Venezuela. And so how, you've mentioned a bit, how has the rest of the Bolivarian reforms been going on inside Venezuela?
I'm actually not very familiar with the Bolivarian Congress and the circle, so I actually would be a little hesitant to answer that question since I'm not familiar with the topic, unfortunately.
Okay. I guess another question we would have in terms of the, as we've seen in the last few years, has been kind of this growing, and I think at one point, I don't know if it's still called the Axis of Good, but there was this growing kind of progressive left forces in South and Central America.
Mm-hmm.
So it started with kind of like the Cuba, Brazil, Venezuela, but now you have Uruguay, you have Argentina. How has this started to coalesce? Is Chavez helping that happen? Are there leadership from other countries? What are the contradictions within it?
Yeah, I mean, what is currently happening in Latin America is basically you see, I guess, loss of faith in what are called traditional political parties. A lot of the traditional political parties have lost a lot of support, and people are no longer favoring these parties. And obviously, a lot of these parties came into power in the 80s following the transition from military dictatorships, and they were essentially implemented neoliberal plans which haven't been able to cater to the needs of the people. So you see this resurgence of the left, And there have been a lot of initiatives which show a greater, I guess, cohesion between between the different countries. Chavez has a plan to create basically a regional oil company. It would be a regional state-owned company, oil company. There are plans to – you have Lula's initiatives in terms of hunger. So there's a lot of movement in the area. Obviously, you have the free trade initiatives, which Chavez is not very very in favor of. But you see a lot of regional integration in terms of trade and security, et cetera. So
what is the Chavez administration? What is their stance on the FTAA?
Chavez in general is not in favor of it. Obviously, with his position, I think what he would like to see more is regional integration in South America rather than something hemisphere-wide. He'd like to build a strong bloc in South America before actually moving to anything further. So he has been quite opposed to the FTAA.
Well, and again, Mateo, thank you so much for coming in at such short notice. Can you take the last minute and tell folks a little bit about the Venezuelan Information Office, as well as give us your web and phone number contacts in case anybody wants more information?
Yes, that would be great. I work with the Venezuelan Information Office, which is a small organization focused on basically educating the American public on Venezuelan issues. We do a lot of work with Congress, a lot of public education initiatives, and as well a lot of work with the media. I'm the media analyst there, so I'm in charge of press inquiries and, you know, talking to reporters, et cetera. And our website is www.veninfo, that's V-E-N-I-N-F-O, .org. And you can reach me at 202-347-8081, and that's extension 601. And if you have any questions or want to learn more about Venezuela, just feel free to contact me.
Again, thank you so much for joining us. That was Mateo Jaran, media analyst with the Venezuelan Information Office. We'd like to thank our guests, Bob Wing, the co-chair of United for Peace and Justice, Melissa Burke from Critical Resistance, and Mateo Jaran. Today we had music from Fela Kuti, the Hip Hop for Respect compilation, and Barrington Levy. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, our engineer, Maggie LaPeak. We'll see you next year. We'll see you next week, and up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman.
You've been listening to the 4 o'clock report, Voices from the Frontline Edition, on listener-supported KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, and on the World Wide Web, kpfk.org. Stay tuned for Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman, along with Alan Minsky,